Okay. Well, it doesn't seem like it's a long agenda today. So I will just start with the roll call. So welcome everybody. Manuel Vasquez, co-chair, Council Affairs. Kira.
Hi everyone, Kira, Council Staff.
Mark.
Mark Molnar, Council Staff.
Lizette.
Good afternoon, everyone. Lizette Martinez. I'm actually with the Los Angeles Planning Council, just here to observe. So thank you for having me.
Great. Bill?
I'm Bill Bloom, San Francisco DPH, HIV Health Services.
Jesus?
Jesus Villena, I'm here to observe as well. Brand new member of the council.
And Kat.
Kat Tajgear, Council Staff.
Awesome.
Quick
Okay.
question before you
Yes.
continue, Manuel. So do we have a lot of excused absences? Because it looks like we actually only have three council members, including Thomas Noble.
Hey Thomas, you jumped off for a second. We just did introductions.
Sorry, trying to grab some late food. Thomas
No
Noble, they, them
worries.
pronouns, government co-chair.
Yes, and then to go back to your question, Mark. So I know Nolly, she already let us know, in advance that for the whole month of May, I think she's not going to be able to be at steering or this one. Outside of that, I'm not really sure of the other people's absences. Kara or Kat, did y'all get any more?
Chuck Adams is out of town and will be out of
Oh
town for full
yeah.
council too. And then Irma had reached out to Kira to let her know that she wouldn't be able to make it today.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Great. Okay. Well, first on the agenda is review and approve May 14th draft agenda. Kara, do you mind pulling that up or is one? So this is the agenda for today. If no one has any questions or opposition, we will approve by consensus. Okay, this is approved. Great. Now we will review and approve April 9th draft minutes. Again, if someone has any questions or edits, please speak now. Otherwise, we will approve by consensus. Hearing none, we approve by consensus. Thank you. Now we're moving to announcements. Anyone have any announcements, Mark?
Just a reminder that due to the Memorial Day holiday, the full council meeting has been pushed up 1 week to this coming Monday.
Great, thank you. Any other announcements for anybody? No?
Also,
Great. Up, yeah, Jesus.
brand new person I know and observing. Can I just mention something really
Yeah.
fast? Yeah, June 5th, of course, is HIV Lung Cancer Survivors Awareness Day. And there's going to be a lot of events and trying to be aware of this. Also, I'm lucky that I'm doing something with HIV Lung Cancer Survivors with Australia. That is an amazing thing. And also, there's going to be the same day a wonderful, I think, a Zoom discussion about stigma and discrimination with the head of obesity issues of Canada. So I'll pass the information.
Great. Thank you so much, Jesus. Awesome. Okay, we'll move on to public comment. I think that's Lizette. Lizette, are you on your iPhone? Oh, it's Faith Kelly. Okay. Hi, Faith.
Hi, I'm so sorry I showed up late, but thank you for letting me sit in.
No worries. Thank you. Okay, so we just went through announcements. Any public comment? Anyone? No. Okay, seeing none, we'll move forward on to item number six, care megatrends. The committee will discuss a presentation from HHS, reply national and local care trends and initiatives. Bill Bloom.
Hi there, everybody. So, I try not to spill all my secrets before the presentation, but if there's some interest, I can tell you kind of just themes. Historically, this was one year where there was just a ton of political things going on with legislation and funding. So this dates by about back 8 years that I offered, I think, I don't know if I was voluntold or what, but to kind of give a summation of all of that. And then it's happened, I'd say, three or four times since then. And so this is just a collection of my thoughts as well as my colleagues in HIV health services of kind of areas that may be of interest. So I do look a little bit at the state, local, and federal funding levels, kind of updates, and I look at kind of larger and share with you larger trends and issues that I think are probably of importance, that kind of are kind of more like what is happening in the system of care. These are not scientifically validated, and I really the data that will be there will be mostly on HIV and aging, just kind of a look forward to see as our community grows older, not younger. So just some kind of stuff, but it will be more conceptual and kind of less data focused for a change. My folks tend to do a lot of data focused stuff. So that's the plan. I'll be everything talking from everything kind of from changes a little bit in Medi-Cal and what that may mean, as well as kind of the pipeline for behavioral health and psychiatry, kind of trends that we're noticing in terms of the hiring pipeline as well. So it will be kind of a little bit of the, it will hopefully be broad, stimulate kind of questions for you guys. And that's the plan. And if there's something specific you'd like me to address, I'm happy to do it.
Okay. Thank you so much, Bill. Mark, I'm just seeing your comment. Quick, really review some changes to our work plan. Go for it.
Oh, sorry. Is that the end of Bill's presentation discussion?
Oh, was that? Sorry.
It seemed fairly brief.
I know. I thought it was brief. Bill, sorry if I cut you off too early.
No, you did it. Again, I'm trying to leave some mystery.
I know. That's what I got.
But if you want, I can pull up my outline and either share it with you or talk about it. How
sure.
Much do you want to hear? Would you like to hear some more?
I think the outline, at least.
Okay. Well, let me.
Yeah, no, I was like, well, you do have the whole agenda pretty much 310 to 355.
Yeah, we have some good time.
We've
all
got
right.
time.
why don't you go on with Mark for a second and give me a minute.
Okay. Okay, cool. Mark?
All right. So, sorry, I really should have mentioned this during agenda review to add a brief agenda item non-vote, just so I can go over some updates for our work plan. Let me just find that just a moment while Bill, probably it's like no more than 5 minutes on my end here. All right, let's see. All right, share screen. Okay, can you all see the work plan for
yes
here? All right, so there's been some shifts, and as the body that does have purview over our work plan, you all should be kept in the loop. Okay, so the shift for this month, as you'll see, megatrends is usually the megatrends of both care and prevention, but because Thomas Noble couldn't make this month's full council meeting, we divided that out. So it's Bill only for care megatrends this month, and then Thomas will come in July for prevention megatrends. We also have at long last our needs assessment report from Kira for the 2023 target population. And then we also at long last have our grantee assessment report coming from my colleague Avery. And then we have what is a kind of temporarily regular item, our standards of care review. I'm not sure how many Robert will be bringing us to approve, but these will go to steering first, so there'll be motions on the floor to approve what steering has already approved. So that's May. In June, we have our regular annual CQI/quality assurance presentation from John Ainsley. This is nothing new. It happens every year. We have a sort of new presentation of the request from a service provider to come speak to their service category, food. We don't get many of these kinds of requests, but since food is often rated fairly highly within our support services categories, I put that on the agenda. And then, of course, we have standards of care. July and September, we're seeing some different, some shifts in our PSRA, our priority setting and resource allocation. Normally, we have our ARES report, which, of course, is a form of EPI, in August. And I had made the move to have our Ryan White service summary presentations also in August. But August is the grantee conference in D.C. And both, Maria Floor, all the presenters will be in D.C. in August. So they requested that I shift those presentations. And therefore, we see Aries' presentation coming earlier in July. And then, of course, like I mentioned, we'll have Thomas doing prevention megatrends, and then possibly our last standards of care review. Hopefully that'll be all finished up in time for our site visit in August. In August, there's still going to needs to be some play around what the presentations will be. There will be, of course, our annual carry forward allocation slash, you know, reallocation potentially discussion. Those will be in the form of traveling motions throughout all of our committees in advance, so that by the time they come to the full council, hopefully everyone who has attended their home committees will have had eyes on our motions for use of unspent dollars. We hope, if it's finished, to have our needs assessment report for this year. If not, we have two other options. Our annual Getting to Zero update, I can contact Courtney about that, and a housing update, in which I'd probably just talk to you, Manuel. So we'll figure that out. And then in September, which is our PSRA meeting slash summit, service summary sheets for Ryan White Part A have moved back to what they had been in before because of what I mentioned. And then we have our usual suspects. We have our basic EPI report from Arches. I'll do a HRSA mandate review. And then, of course, we have our main event, which is our resource allocation and service category prioritization. So those are the shifts. Any questions about our work plan slash presentation calendar?
I don't... Jesus, you can go on. You're muted.
At this point, I only can talk, but I don't have any say in the things except if I become part of the group, right?
No, yeah, so... No. You can talk, but if you, I mean, this isn't noted for a vote, so you can't make a motion unless an agenda item is noted for a vote. But a non committee member can certainly make motions as long as the second comes from a committee member.
No, I'm sorry to say this. I just noticed precisely that until future topics, but during the whole year, there's nothing in correlation of HIV and AIDS that Bill mentioned. Of course, our long-term survivors. And honestly, for my experience at this point, I think we're kind of in a crisis level for some reasons that I will express later on. But I find it kind of amazing that it's not in any of the months.
Yeah, this... presentations on long-term survivors and HIV and aging do often occur annually. I think, I mean, I can't really recall the discussion specifically in council affairs that took place probably in November of last year in coming up with this work plan slash presentation calendar. But if I recollect correctly, and anyone please correct me if I'm wrong, the idea was that we do actually have that every year. There have been there's been a lot of information, and so it was put under future topics, perhaps to take the year off, perhaps not. But I think that was the logic there, is that this is a regularly appearing topic at the council. Of course, I'm not speaking in favor or against it. I'm just trying to portray what I think I recall the logic being back in November for not having it as an annual report.
Bill, your hand's raised.
Sure. Separate from what Mark is raising, just a reminder, we did do the long-term survivors and mental health presentation about 3 months ago, which is a pretty extensive assessment. And I think the last time we did a specific focus on HIV and aging, it was with Dr. Meredith Green, who has unfortunately left to go back take care of her father. But there are other people from Golden Compass, so one could add a presentation. I think Dr. Hong is her last name. I might have that wrong, but there is a new director there. So if there's interest at some point, Mark, let me know and I can facilitate that introduction if that's what you all want to do.
Yeah, and I appreciate that, Bill. And also, Jesus, to that point, if there's a month that you see, because I think I agree with what Mark had mentioned. I think we did note it down here as a future topic because it is important, but maybe we didn't schedule it just because there had been discussion with Meredith because she did present. But I wanted to ask you, Jesus, your opinion. I was like, where would you like to schedule it, looking at what we have? Or yeah.
Well, the issues, there has been some latest news, super important. The injectables, for example, there was just an article just... a couple of days ago, how for HIV long-term survivors or people aging, it might not be working as initially presented. Also, of course, we know about the drug issue. For every five people dying, one is an overdose. and is really affecting a lot of our aging population. There's so many new things happening, and I know I'm sure Bill is on top of that. Besides that, we already know that to get a mental health therapist is taking more than 6 months, to get a social worker even more than 6 months. So that's what I feel, and I'm gonna have all these things together for you guys. We are kind of a little bit on a crisis at my own perception. So, you know, together with, I think almost any of the issues in any month, it can be in correlation to aging or long-term survivors at this point. But I don't think that we should forget it, or not forget it, but just don't make it invisible. That's always the main complaint of every person aging at this point.
Sure. Well, I appreciate that. And what I want to offer is, it does sound like you're pretty passionate and you're informed about topics that you feel are pretty relevant. It also sounds like that's more like a lot of more announcements or not necessarily a presentation, right? I mean, I think if you want to give a presentation, that would be something we put forward as a suggestion. Mark, what are your thoughts? Because my thoughts with this is that if Jesus would like to make an announcement, if you will, soon, because Jesus, you just said if you feel like it's an emergent need, we could do it in a public comment or an announcement. I don't know. What are your thoughts, Mark?
Sure, I have a few different thoughts. Of course, Jesus, as a council member, is always welcome to make announcements, extensive or otherwise, during the announcements portions of full council. Jesus, if you'd like to do a longer sort of discussion, but that's not quite presentation length, which is, of course, 30 minutes to 45 minutes. Like, say, if you would like to do an update of some sort for 10 minutes, any meeting would be available for that. In fact, we just had a request to do a 10-minute update for a new project coming up from one of the co-chairs. So you could just get in contact with me and saying, I'd like 10 minutes on the agenda to speak to these new issues. As far as having an annual presentation around HIV and aging, I actually would sort of switch back to what Bill said. Even though, if you can all take a look at January, even though these two presentations were not specifically named HIV and aging and mental health, or HIV and aging and long-acting injectables, certainly both of those topics took on that particular target population largely. So I do feel in many ways, looking at those specific presentations, that this year has, despite not having an official HIV and aging presentation, has still included that demographic within our calendar year information cycle. Because looking at the months that we have available, certainly we don't really have September or October available. Those are kind of pro forma, you know, our PSRA summit in September and then our county partners PSRAs in October. That leaves potentially August and November. And so to put a new HIV and aging presentation, for example, from Golden Compass, would mean this group would have to revise what it had already decided, which is fine. Everything is a work in progress. But if so, this group would have to say, okay, we actually want a second presentation that is specifically targeting HIV and aging in place of getting to zero, or in place of housing, or in November, in place of an integrated plan update, which I could actually see, or in place of HIV in incarceration. So this group always has the purview over switching things over if it wants, but you'd have to look at those 2 months in particular, because there's not much movability for the other months, and decide what do you want to take out. And so my recommendation is, if you do want to put something in, the only one where you're not going to have to like come up with like, well, I consider the second or even third presentation on this topic more important than, would be potentially that integrated plan update, merely because we've already had blueprint updates. And so I can see that one being movable, Jesus. If you would like to move November's integrated plan update out, and I can try to connect with Golden Compass and move that in for November to sort of close out our year. What do you all think?
Mark, could I give a little bit of additional information which may help inform kind of the urgency that Jesus is kind of expressing about this? So Jesus, you know, I would venture to say we can't talk about it enough, and we're talking about it a lot, and we are doing a lot of things. So Some things you may not be aware of is that Maria Lacayo is within HIV Health Services, becoming our subject matter expert in this. We're also setting up two HIV and aging trainings for all of the providers, one focused on the two BIPOC populations that we have the most of, so Latinx, Latina populations, HIV is in aging, as well as African and American in aging. And then also we are clubbed together with the Mayor's Office of Housing and Community Development, MOHCD, where Manuel works. And we have started meeting with the Division of Disability and Aging Services, DAS. And we're setting up a meeting with them for both cross trainings across the two systems. And Manuel has already started gently nudging them to have actually someone from DAS sit on the planning council. So just to let you know, presentations are one thing and you all make that decision, but it's not like a lot of stuff isn't happening. And I know you're new and still learning it. So I'm happy to share with you this and other things as they come up. So that's separate. So whether this makes it on the as a presentation or not, it's still very much an issue that's being worked on.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Bill. And I just wanted to say, so my comments and my suggestion was, because I don't know if you really, Jesus, if you would like to be the presenter or if you want it to be a formal presentation. Mark kind of just mentioned the challenges of that with the schedule, but I also want to be respectful of your sense of urgency. So I think it's totally understandable to make announcements and to speak your truth, if you will, at a meeting. And then maybe even gauging from that announcement if the body would like to have a formal presentation. That's my suggestion initially, but I don't, what are your thoughts, Jesus?
No, I just want to say first, thank you. The first thing that I have to do, of course, is to really listen to what's going on the council before I really establish something. But my urgency, I think, is real. And again, I will ask you just, and Bill, yeah, I would love to meet with you. This is my third time with the council. So I need to refresh myself in every little thing, especially in how to do this. But one of the things that I've been doing lately in collaboration with some other people is really to check out all the HIV and aging services in every agency, from San Francisco Foundation to Westside to. And it's scary. Oh, that's what I can say. And because of my community, and thank you, Manuel, it is a passion, the whole getting older thing. It does scare me that if something is not done soon, many people will suffer because of that. But I will learn from the council first what's going on and then go ahead with that. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, my suggestion is that, yeah, maybe when we have announcements at the next council meeting that you bring this up and then you can read the gauge the room. But as Mark said, it can also be a 10 minute where you talk about your specific concerns, right? Like what you are seeing that you want to make more aware for everyone, right? So I don't know, but that could be a suggestion, understanding how challenging scheduling is, that you could do in immediate future, like the next council meeting. Okay, cool. So it sounds like you'll think a little bit more about it, Jesus, and then maybe reach out. Okay, great. Awesome. Okay. And then for me, I just wanted to say, so the housing update, that can come about anytime. I will say that I don't know how many people are feeling or in the news, but HOPWA will be changing a little bit of how it does things next year. More so affecting like our competitive programs, which are very limited. But there is a formula change. So they're going to be actually not defunding, but they will not be providing allocations to certain states, actually. And so there's a change of like it has to be 2,000 people living with the HIV virus in that city and 500,000 or more living in the city for them to get a formula allocation. That's never really been done before. So I did want to provide that update, but that can come about anywhere. I mean, essentially the budget's being finalized now. We just had a webinar, so it would be kind of a report back from that. But yeah, Mark, wherever you feel like it fits, whatever. Yeah.
You know, that's really important information. I'm going to just put you on, you know, if you recall the work plan of a few moments ago, it was a maybe for getting to zero and a maybe for housing update. I'm going to just change that maybe to a yes.
Okay.
And you and I will talk more about whether it'll be a full-blown presentation or merely a shorter update. Great.
Sounds great. Yeah. Thomas, your hand's raised.
Yeah, Manuel, does that are we affected by that? Or
No,
the
I mean,
okay.
so the only thing it really affects us, because we do have more than 2,000 people who are living with HIV, and we have over 500,000 in the city of San Francisco. But our competitive programs, so previously, HOPWA has always longstanding programs that have had these awards. So competitive programs are what the name says, they have to compete. Formula is based on how many people are living in the virus, so that's an automatic, right? But the competitive are, they're also called special projects of national significance, essentially something that was really innovative, right? And back here in San Francisco, we have the Second Start program, which is a partial subsidy program that's also meant to help people get back into the workforce or go back in education. That program has been established since the 90s, I want to say, or early 2000s, I want to say. So HOPWA has always said their thought is that these programs have never really been fully funded as they should have been. So they have always allowed for what's called a renew or replace. So essentially, if you don't want to change your program, you just send an application into HUD and say, we just want to renew. And then they can renew or whatever. Replace would be legit having to recompete and having to redo the whole program scope. So we've always been able to renew, and that's kind of what San Francisco's done with our competitive awards. But now HOPWA has now HUD has said we're no longer going to allow any renewals. So everyone is now going to have to reapply and compete. I know Bill was on some of this webinar. It was kind of surprising, but not really, because their points of reasoning were, well, some of these programs need more money, and we are a good example, actually. So Second Start only provides $400 a month as a subsidy. That doesn't go very far nowadays. It may have went really far in the late or early 2000s, but now it doesn't. And so we do need more funding per household. Also, a lot of our clients that were, going back to work in the early 2000s are now 50 and older, and they don't necessarily want to go back into the workforce, or they're disabled or this and that. So, right, we're actually having a hard time being able to prove that we have that need. And I think I've been gauging a lot of this in my bi-monthly work groups that I have and all kinds of other groups that I'm in spaces I'm in, asking people, does this program really meet the needs of people in San Francisco? And time again, it seems like no. And so I'm pretty much already expecting to have to rewrite the grant. And essentially, we're going to focus more on people who are unstably housed. This goes with getting to zero. This is in my thought process. But essentially, people who could really use intensive housing case management, right? And these are people who are lost to care. These are people who are, maybe homeless, chronically unstably housed. Having them have a really close ratio with a case manager, so it's not like a caseload of like 50 to 1, but rather like maybe 20 to 1, where it's intensive housing case management. And again, this is for people who are really marginalized, so people who are coming out of incarceration, people who have the most barriers, right, to maintaining stable housing. That's what we're pitching. But again, more details to come.
Sounds great. I'm glad you're where you're at, by the way. That was really helpful. I'm glad to be looped in on that.
Great. Awesome. Okay. So I think it was all the comments. Megatrend. So we'll go back to you, Bill.
Are you all able to see my screen?
Yes.
So I'm going to go quickly because I do want there to be some element of fun and newness to this, not but I do want to hear if stuff is missing or you already know that. So it's divided. The first set of thing is San Francisco based, looking at kind of viral suppression levels and kind of equity work that's happening there, and how that relates to maybe some of the work the Planning Council want to think about. The second, again, this is San Francisco, is kind of budgetary. Talk a little bit about the recent cuts, the potential for a cut in Ryan White due to the formula with prevalence and incidence. You all kind of are aware, as we have very few new positives because we're very effective with PrEP, that could potentially have an impact on our award amount. It hasn't. And then the second thing is just the out-migration of people from San Francisco to more affordable levels. The housing, and I'm going to be very brief here because I know Manuel is going to talk about this, but I'm going to kind of highlight again the housing plan, which is set for release, the HIV specific one, as well as talk a little bit about how kind of one of our investments with the EHE funding is intensive case management. that's specific to housing. I'm going to, again, briefly touch on the overdose crisis and evolving patterns of substance use, which really is just that the providers are sharing that that very few people are injecting drugs, particularly heroin and other things that are kind of have led for them to be thought of as one of the kind of behavioral risk groups. It's a lot more around stimulant use. And then I'm going to talk very briefly about the county response. I do think with all the free time, that's a whole other potential presentation about what's happening, because there's a lot going on with that. And we can connect people up. So I'm going to talk about HIV and aging, kind of the current data, and then show kind of trends every 2 years, how the percentage of people in different age groups will change. I already kind of highlighted with you a little bit kind of the work that MOCD and age is doing with that should not be aging adult services, that should be disability and aging services. Talk a little bit about medical care, kind of the changing landscapes there, and what will the model of care be, as particularly as people not in their 60s, but people get into their 70s. You know, there is a geriatric specialization that's been around for about 20, 30 years, kind of what the care system eventually is going to face around decisions around, and patients are going to be thinking about kind of the role of polypharmacy and multiple medical conditions, and are we going to need more kind of pharmacists? Is that going to be kind of a change in the landscape? A little bit about cognitive changes related to aging, a little bit about like assessments, what do we need to do, and also a cautionary tale that a lot of the neuropsych testing could maybe tell you you have a causative cognitive change, but it doesn't necessarily do more than that. So I think there's just want to sound a little bit maybe a balance bell there. Stigma, and particularly as people maybe age out of homing, out of home, and being out about their sexual identity, their gender identity, the HIV status may be very different if folks go into senior living. And what do we do to support people or make sure those systems are ready for that? Then that's, so that's all local, although some of that could be, you know, state and national, and then kind of state issues and trends, this the state budget issues, the reduction of Ryan White Part B to SF, the Medi-Cal expansion, kind of a, and how citizenship status doesn't impact that. The CalAIMS funding, which is Medi-Cal mental health specialty care, you know, how that may actually provide augmented services or relief, and some, as some folks move on to those programs, including folks that are HIV positive, you know, maybe we'll see agencies and other parts of DPH as well with less financial need for HIV funds. And switch on to national trends and issues. Oh, this is, I'm sorry, this is a slightly older version. We now have an approved budget, so you could skip that. A little bit about the challenges of Ryan White reauthorization, and then kind of just the challenges that presents in terms of how to, you know, that was authorized in 2009. And so some of the stuff that's baked into the legislation gives us challenges, as we all learn, particularly with status neutral. I talk a little bit about the professional pipeline, just at least some of the perceptions I have that as HIV becomes more manageable and less stigmatized, that we have fewer people who are signing up for lifetimes of service. And now HIV is one of multiple social justice issues that seems to be kind of the trend of our younger professionals that don't, you know, maybe they want to come in and do HIV work, but maybe not 30 years of it. And also just on, you know, as for many folks, particularly those who are not long-term survivors, the management is fairly easy if you intervene early and quickly. And so what is the need around specialization for doctors in infectious disease if they're not managing a ton of opportunistic infections for a bunch of people? Just the changes, lots of folks are retiring. So loss of institutional memory on the one side, and then the opportunity for a new generation of leaders to take leadership and take us in new and creative directions. A little bit about the pipeline and shortages of staff, particularly around mental health provider. The next thing is, do you want me to keep going at this rate, or shall I speed it up?
I think this rate's good. Thank you, okay. Bill.
Sure. Data integration, electronic medical records. This is perhaps the least sexy part of the presentation, but probably one of the most impactful. Just how the standardization is happening around it, what electronic medical records allow us to do in terms of understanding what's going on across populations and individuals, in terms of really being able to intervene to get people into care. Also just a little bit about that. It's a lot of personal information that does get shared, and we need to have systems in place to protect folks. Biomedical interventions, talk a little bit about HIV treatment, kind of the limitation, the evolving science, potentially looking at Q4 months. And I think, I don't think all this like go into because it's so hot off the press, but there's now talk about customizing pills and moving to weekly pill formulations as opposed to daily. So I think I'll just say there's probably a lot on the horizon. And then medical appointment frequency need, just standards of care shifting. And the feds are a little behind and often look to us like, if you're durably suppressed, do you really need to have your T cells done twice a year? And if you're 28 and have no other medical conditions, you really need to come in 2 and 3 times a year once you've been suppressed for a year and a half. And then just shifting of the model of HIV really as a chronic manageable condition. And at what point with folks with HIV who are medically uncomplicated, are they going to be mainstream and just get their care in primary care as they would for any other thing like diabetes or something? And how would we then define when HIV, if HIV were to become specialty care, how do we define that? A little bit about the horizon for a cure or a very effective preventable vaccine for HIV as a way to end it on a high note.
Great.
I feel like I should have been on caffeine and sounded like I was, but I
Nah.
probably wasn't. So,
We appreciate all that. No, it was
no
great.
worries.
Thank you, Bill. Okay, any questions for Bill or anything? Yes, Mark.
A couple questions, one micro and one macro. For the first one, do you think you'll have a rough dollar estimate for the potential of reduced funds? That's a pretty big thing, I think, that the council should be aware of if it's a larger amount. If you think it's a negligible amount, I don't think that a ballpark is necessary.
Mark, we thought this was going to hit 3, 4, 5 years ago, and it hasn't. So, but there's part of the ward is formula, and it does look at incidence, right? The new cases of HIV. And somehow the cuts we've had have been, well, we had 1 year of an increase, right? But they've been slow and steady. So if it is happening, it's happening at a minor level. But I think I just want the council to understand that. The system is, in a strange way, a little bit perverse. Like, if you have less new cases, you get less money. And that, on the one hand, makes sense, but it doesn't, it's a system that hasn't figured out how to motivate people to be more successful in preventing HIV. So I don't think it's a major point, but it's just more situational awareness that this is something that could impact us.
Okay, that sounds good. The second part is around the, I guess more technically, this seems like a very rich and robust presentation, to say the least. I mean, each of these topic areas could be its own separate presentation. And I only have you down on the agenda for 45 minutes, and that's like 30 minutes for the presentation and 15 minutes for the Q&A. Do you think that is going to be enough time for all of the material you have up that we just saw?
I thought, Mark, I would be ambitious and put out a lot of different ideas just to see what was interesting to people. I spoke more quickly and went into less depth. So I'm happy, Mark, you kind of have encouraged me to do this, and I'm an introvert by nature, and it feels a little bit like these are my thoughts, not necessarily like the Fed's thoughts or something. So I don't necessarily feel like I need to kind of bandstand in front of people for a really long time, but if I would suggest we stay with that. I mean, if it's a really light agenda and you want to make it more, that's fine. I also, if people are particularly interested in one thing, I could, in a follow up, when I give the director's report, I could give a 5 minute blurb on a particular area of interest, so it could be a little more ongoing. So that was a long winded way of saying I think 45 minutes is fine.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Great. Jesus, your hand's raised.
Yes, thank you. Bill, thank you for all the information. I miss Meredith. That's the first thing that I can say. And I wonder who's going to be our next connection. One of the things that we talked about before she left, and it was that none of the HIV positive people Asian will pass the balance test. And one of the conversations that we've been having with Marcy Adelman and other people is exactly all that community that is at home because of mobility, either physical or mental. And one of the things that we talk about how difficult it was to reach them out, and I was just wondering how difficult it has been, or what kind of efforts had been done, or in which way to try to reach out these communities staying at home, besides the isolation and loneliness, with all the mobility issues increasing through the time.
You know, Jesus, this is definitely subject of at least an hour. And so I think what you're highlighting, you know, we say long-term survivors in HIV and aging, and we started at 50, but as someone who's been positive for 30 years myself, who's about to hit 60, you know, it's not the same. Like, and I know that brothers and sisters of mine who are positive and that are 70 have a whole other set of issues. So, I mean, the first thing is, this is what I'm giving you is a very broad stroke of HIV and aging. And I think and we do know that the challenges that hit HIV negative people as they grow older are not most of them are no longer different. It's just for HIV positive people, because of the inflammatory nature of the disease, even if you're virally suppressed, they tend to happen sooner, chronic conditions and everything else. So, you know, so I think that's what providers keep telling us. Like, I'm seeing other diseases happening faster and sooner. But I think the question you're kind of asking within this, which I'm now getting to, is what are we doing to keep people in their homes if they want to stay in their homes? Is that the question you're asking?
No, not exactly. Okay. You know, in most of this data, we usually don't have information from these people that they are not able to get out to groups or San Francisco mm-hmm. Foundation or Shanti or any of these things, because they are at home, and sadly, in these days, they don't even get visitors from the... So one of the conversations that we've been having with different people is that it's almost unreachable, or really to get to know how many people are at home without going out. So HIV positive. So mm-hmm. I was just wondering if you guys have any information about that, or you've been making efforts to... I don't know, to try to reach them in some way, but I we don't even know how. That's the point.
So, Jesus, I would say truthfully, the extent to which we do it is what we hear from our providers that go into people's homes. So we have two programs, and we speak fairly regularly with both of them, but that's only a sliver. So, like, if you are in some way disabled and that's why you're staying home, then likely we would hear something. But if you're staying at home just because you feel lonely and isolated and depressed, and you know, you can go down and get your shopping done so you take care of your needs, but you know, you don't feel safe to go out to a movie or something like that, we don't have that information. We are really busy trying to get folks that are experiencing housing instability into care. Like, that's kind of where our focus is, which doesn't mean the issues you're raising are not important. It's just with the money we have and 9 staff people, that's where we're currently at. So I do think there's opportunities to leverage what's happening in the Planning Council, what MOCD is doing. I'm hoping the, you know, Disability and Aging Services will be able to kind of bring some stuff to that. And probably they're more likely will have some experience. But you're kind of about 6 months or ahead of where we're at with your ideas, to be frank.
Yeah, it wasn't, I just want to mention that it wasn't a criticism at all. It's more really, again, a question or concern, because I do know it's increasing. And I don't know if many people have even wondered about that. But the question, again, for some of these people, some of these amazing people that I think I know, is that how to even know of the existence of these people and then reach out to them and find out their problems. But thank you. I understand the limitations, if anything.
No, but you're also bringing up a good idea. We're not quite there. So hold tight and keep mentioning it.
Great. Thank you. Thomas, your hand's raised.
Bill, this sounds great to me. And I'm telling you the truth, I'm just more thinking about the CHEP side of some the similar presentation. So are you kind of focusing on local and national?
I tried to do, Thomas, this was just because the first time we did it, there was stuff happening at each level. So I am doing a local, a state, and a federal. But it's just one of the organizing principles. And again, it's far from exhaustive. It's just kind of a greatest hits as I saw them.
Great. Sounds good. So I'm going to be in DC for work on Monday. So I'll try to listen in. So cool. Great. Thank you for sharing.
Sure.
Great. Okay. Thank you so much, Bill. Really robust discussion today. Thank you, Jesus, for adding to that. Okay. So we're at the last agenda item, if no one else has anything else, which is the next meeting date. So the next Council Affairs Committee is scheduled for June 12th from 3 to 4 p.m. Anybody else have anything else they want to add before we adjourn? No? Okay.
I just want to say thanks to everyone. I'm just coming again brand new. And one of the things that I'm adding to the table is what many people don't acknowledge sometimes is the power of social media. That we have some incredible social media health leaders. And I'm very proud that many of them are Latinos, by the way. But anyway, just saying, thank you, guys. Hugs and kisses.
Welcome. Yeah. Okay. I will adjourn the meeting. Thank you, everyone.